Perfect. So, well, Phil, as I mentioned before, it's Talking Rugby Union. Thanks a lot for speaking to us. And to kick off, obviously, with England just finishing their recent tour of New Zealand, and although it was a 3-0 whitewash in the end, there were a lot of positives, weren't there, to take from the tour? You say we need to improve, and obviously it's something we need to catch up with the best teams in the world, particularly the All Blacks. But obviously they're always improving as well. Do you think England will be able to bridge that gap at all between now and the World Cup next year? Absolutely. And over the three games, there was a lot of talk about how England should focus on playing rugby, how their game plan should be, whether playing out wide or crashing up through the middle or different things like that. As yourself, as someone who knows how to win in New Zealand and obviously a World Cup winner, where is it you think England's future, particularly looking ahead to the World Cup, lies, and what do you think is going to be the best game plan taking on the best teams next year?
Well, I think actually Stuart Lancaster's biggest problem at the moment is he's got so many options.
Yeah.
Because they've proven they can play a little bit, they've proven they can scrimmage, they've proven they can line-out drive, they've proven they've got a reasonably good kicking game, where sometimes actually it can be a bit of a hindrance when you've got the best of all worlds, where I think perhaps not to take away from what we achieved, certainly in our great England team, is we were really constrained by having a bloody good forward pack.
Yeah.
Somebody who could kick a rugby ball with accuracy of a sniper rifle, and also a little bit of brains and a little bit of sparkle as well. You know, we played very much to our strengths, but yes, we were a rounded team, but lots of quality, but we were very predominantly a forward pack with a number 10 and drivers in that team who had the experience and knew how to win games. I think the probably greatest asset of that England team was more to do with we had guys on the team who, if things weren't going to how we wanted to, we still knew how to win a game.
Yeah.
It's a difficult one. I think ultimately, I think English rugby will always be very based around a forward pack, and I think England have got a very athletic forward pack and a forward pack with brains, and you've got the skill set to go with it. But also, when you start looking outside of the, you know, the scrum, and look at the scrum half in the Omens and the like, it really is Danny Kerr. It's exciting at halfback area, but the one place now, and I think this is going to be a real headache for Stuart Lancaster, is that, you know, that 10-12 access, because, you know, we went into the tour, right, Owen Farrell is our number 10, is our first choice, and then we were talking about, you know, Ford possibly coming through on this tour, you know, played really well for Bath all year. Now, suddenly, at the end of a four-week tour, Freddie Burns has thrown his hat back into the ring with undoubtedly, you know, a wonderful performance in that first test.
Mm.
Then we've got Danny Cipriani coming back and showing what he can do. And then we've got Owen Farrell when he's fit. And now Mr. Ford's thinking, hang on a minute, am I first, second choice, or am I now fourth, fifth choice?
Yeah.
But, you know, I still think that inside centre role, yes, 12 trees, but I'm still not convinced. I don't think, not because he's not a good player. I still think there's going to be options for a potential Burns, Cipriani, Ford, one of those three. I'd probably still say that Freddie Burns, when he's had a shocking season at Gloucester this year, but I still think he's, for me, the go-to player, along with Cipriani, Ford, those two jostling for that position with a Farrell. And I think with, you know, Farrell playing that inside almost like a Wilkinson-type cap role, you know, playmaker, but I think Farrell adds a little bit more defensively with his physicality. So it's, you know, there's so many different options in the back three. I think, you know, Brian at fullback, you know, I think he's just been outstanding. The wings, you know, we've got lots of options. Marlon Yard, I think he's sort of put his hat back into the ring, and Johnny May hasn't done a huge amount wrong. We've got Chris Ashton floating around. You know, the list kind of goes on and on and on and on and on of potential people. So, you know, it's really exciting, but at the same time, you know, at some point, you know, that Rugby World Cup's becoming closer, and I think Stuart and I will want to say, right, these are the guys I'm committing to, and those guys need to start playing together.
Yeah.
And really work each other out and actually creating a style and an identity of what this team and how it's going to move forward.
Sure. Mm. And moving over to your position in the front row, how did the English impress you on this tour, facing against New Zealand? Obviously, you've got Woodcock and some of the most experienced front rowers in the game at the moment. How do you think the England front row fared?
I think they've done well. I think, you know, I'm a, you know, Dan Cole has been such an important part of this England team moving forward. And I actually think with him getting his injury, hopefully in the long run, will be good, not just for him. I don't want him to get injured. But it'll be good for England because you need to progress players. And when you think Paul Becerro didn't even go on this tour, who for me is the number one loose head prop in England. I think Joe Marr has proven it's great to see him back and playing consistently well. Rob Webber, I think, is a fantastic talent. And, you know, someone who can push through. And David Wilson, who's, you know, who's sort of come back from injury and sort of done, come in and done a great job. There's, you know, Kieran Brooks, what he done when, you know, when he came on. You know, there's beginning to be no real depth attached to that England front row, which is vital for the success of, you know, any team, but I think particularly this England team, because it's a team full of different options and, you know, players will get injured who are going to come back in.
Yeah.
You know, second row, Launchbury, you know, I think he's, what a season he's had again. I think, you know, it's really exciting for him for the future. They can build around that. The back row, you know, the Villapola brothers, you know, talk about Maka in the front row, you know, as well as, you know, with Bobiso not being involved as well. You know, there's real strength there, and I think that's, you know, ultimately the foundation of any team is built by their forward pack. I think the England forward pack is one which is, you know, really building and building momentum. I'd like to see a settled pack of forwards now. The debate about the back row and who plays where, and you know, the captain who's been fantastic? Is he really a seven? All those arguments will come out, but I think that front five, particularly, you can mess about the back row a bit. They're not really that important when it comes to front row forwards. But you know, that front five now really needs to cement itself and needs to play rugby together and find an awful manager so that they can launch a pretty exciting pack of back row forwards with those half backs and, you know, what Danny cares and what he can bring to the game, you know, and, you know, poetry's, you know, really, it's frightening, really, the firepower now that this England team do have.
Absolutely, yeah, it is promising for the future. And just staying with the front row for a minute, you obviously, yeah, something that's changed since your day coming in at the start of this season is the new scrum laws. It's not something that's just changed slightly. There's been quite a big overhaul of the scrum itself. How do you think, having seen that for a full year now, how do you think that's affected the game? Do you think it's been a good move to change them so much, or has it worked?
I mean, it's a bloody tough one, because you know what, I'm still a big believer in you can change laws and you can change techniques and positions and any amount of things. You know, people will always find ways around it. The scrummage will always be in a huge contention, and I don't think that will ever change. But, you know, call me, you know, perhaps a little bit old-fashioned, but positive people with positive coaches with making, you know, positive decisions, there invariably is a positive scrummage.
Yeah.
Well, what the struggle is at the moment is who can find advantage, and there will always be people who will want to take advantage of the scrummage. So it's a bloody tough one. It's, you know, all the rules right? Is everything as it should be? Is it as good as it could be? Probably not. But the game's where it's worked. You've had packs of forwards who want to do the right things.
Yeah.
So it's you know, we can go round and round and round in circles with it until it comes to the point that, you know, where do we go? And, you know, the one thing we do not want, and I would never want to see, is obviously the scrummage taken out of the game, because it's imperative to our game.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, it's a bloody tough thing. You know, it either works really well or it's a bloody disaster. But I think you can change the rules as much as you want, and I don't think that would ever change, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, yeah, that does. Yeah, I agree. And just one more thing on a rugby point of view. It's hard not to mention, obviously, that World Cup final. Johnny drop kicked, went through the posts, and you won it. You lifted the trophy. If you can, what was it like at that moment? And, you know, from yourself who was on the field, can you describe what it was like to win a World Cup?
It's very difficult to sum up in one word. I think my overriding memory, my real sense of pride, you know, I'm really proud of where I come from. I'm proud to wear my country's jersey, and I've always wanted to promote, I've always wanted to shout from the rooftops about, you know, what it is I've done. I'm extremely proud of my rugby career, but I think the sense of pride that, you know, I had, you know, it's more not just with the guys and what you've achieved with them. It's the people we've helped along the way, and the sense of emotion, and you know that I just can't explain it. It's just the most amazing feeling that you could, you know, ever dream of. It was, you know, feels so special, and you know, to have experienced that and all the things that went with it, coming back and the, you know, the open top bus and, you know, the Buckingham Palace and, you know, everything else and all the bits that went with it, it was just very, very special. It really, really was. And, you know, that sense of pride with your family and your friends and what you'd achieved, and ultimately even now, you know, I take the medal out and show kids and give to people and have their picture taken. It's, you know, it's just something that can never be taken away from you. And whatever you think about me as a player, or what I've done or didn't do, or was he very good at, it's just such a bloody fantastic thing to have achieved. And, you know, you'll never forget that with those people at that time, at that moment. That, you know, I knew the work that everyone had put into it, the coaches, the conditioning staff, the support staff, the doctors, the physios, the backroom staff, the analysis guys, the boys themselves, the training that they put into it, the effort, all the different bits and pieces that we did, you know, it all culminated and we got rewarded for that. And, you know, it's, I get emotional talking about it now.
Yeah.
You know, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Absolutely, and that summed it up perfectly. Thanks. And just one final thing, just to mention what you've basically been doing today. If you could just give us a bit more information about what it is that's been going on.
Well, I'm heading up the boys. We're with the Eblex guys, and I'm heading up the Butchers. We're taking on the Aussies and the Kiwi. So we've got a bit of a Tri-Nations going on. We've got the finals up at the Great Yorkshire Show on the 10th of July. But we had a bit of a team meeting today, a bit of a get-together. Gave them a bit of a prep talk. Apparently the Kiwis are really good and serious about everything. So we're well prepared for them. But it's just, promoting English, promoting, we talk about butchers, the importance of butchery. The skills of those guys and the work that they do is just bloody tremendous.
Mm.
And it's something, anything to help promote it, to help get and raise awareness of the work that they do is, that's me. It's that is me. You can't get any more me than that. So it was great to be there today, great to promote it. And I can't wait to the 10th of July. I want to look at those boys in the eye. We're going to go for it and hopefully show them what we can do.
Absolutely. Well, good luck with it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for speaking to us. It's been a pleasure to speak to you. Thanks, Phil.
No problem, boy. Look after yourself.
You too. Cheers, Phil. Take care. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.